Hugo Hobbes. So I'm here to talk a little bit about Hugo Hobbes. What a fantastic joy. There he is, asleep in his dad's arms. Hugo Hobbes. And those of us who know Hugo know that he's happy and he's interested. He's always looking around. He's always watching out for his brothers, seeing what they're doing. And tear to the eye moment, anyone else? When Chris was oh my goodness, brilliant. It's clear that even at this young age, he's learning. He's just watching what is going on around him. He's constantly got alertness and a big grin and an open mouth ready to put anything in there and chew on it for a bit just to find out what's going on. So Hugo, oh man, what a blessing to Mike and Nikki. What an absolute blessing. What a joy it is to see him join their family. And as I was preparing this, I thought, okay, what's the Bible passage that goes with this then? And in Psalm 127, a few verses say that children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man and woman whose quiver is full of them. And I thought, yeah, there you are. Mike and Nikki have got a full quiver at the moment. Well, maybe not a full quiver. They've got a car with extra seats. So they have a quiver that is filling up, but you can just see straight away. Man, and I love that analogy of, you know, the warrior who goes into battle full. He's blessed. He knows what he's doing. And Mike and Nikki with Hugo, Sam, and George. I quit. I'm out. And George, just a blessing. I went off script. Don't I do that? You see, it's the lesson to do. Now, I love this family, the Hobbes family. We've been on holiday together. But most of the hours Mike and I spend are sat watching films of various quality. So I spent a lot of time in their house watching some truly awful stuff and watching some absolutely brilliant films. Mike and I have shared hours and hours. And again, I was thinking, okay, from all of those times, I wonder how many Hugos we've ever watched on the screen. How many Hugos? So I obviously did a Google search. We're in the 21st century. I Google searched Hugos. And I came up with a series of Hugos, just to keep it going. And the first one, Hugo Chavez, the Venezuelan president. Yeah, there you are, educating as well. This is Hugo Junkers, who was a German aircraft engineer in the 1920s and 30s. Hugo Junkers. This gentleman here is not Dave Grove. Although, wow, this is Victor Hugo, the writer of Les Miserables and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. So Victor Hugo. 10 points if you can tell me who he is. That's Hugo Spear, famous for the Full Monty and a bunch of other things. And this is Hugo Weaving, a great actor, and I like him because he's been in lots of the films I really quite enjoy. And the one I thought Mike would enjoy the most is probably the voice of Megatron. From the Transformers films, I thought, yeah, I'll put that one in for Mike. So lots and lots of Hugos. And then, of course, you've got the film Hugo, a Steven Spielberg film. And this one is about a boy who lives in a train station. It doesn't come across as the most enthralling film when you hear it like that. Boy who lives in a train station, he commutes. All the commuters, kind of, he interacts with them in their lives and the staff, and it's a story of how he interacts with the people. And to be honest, when I watched it, I was quite surprised. Because if you watch the trailer, it's a fantasy film about this automaton and there's spectacle going on. And then you watch the film, and actually, it's very different. The reality is that it's a film about people and about relationships. And the fantasy element is very, very toned down. And it's, there's a mystery about his father and that sort of thing. But there's nothing set in the mystery fantasy world. It's all real world. And there's these relationships going on. And it's fantastic that I was surprised by that. Because I came away not thinking any less of the film. But actually, it built up that bit more that I really enjoyed it for that surprise. So that got me thinking about the expectations versus reality. My expectation going into the film was one of I'm going to be in this fantasy escapist world, when actually I was faced with the challenges of relationships and how people interact with one another. Perhaps some of you have come today to church with expectations, that your expectation of coming to church is maybe exactly what you thought it was going to be. Perhaps it's completely different. Those of us who have been coming for a while knew what to expect. crazy man with a microphone, in quotes. I think we'll have that one on the banner outside. Of course, it's what we expect. Perhaps some of you are expecting kind of mystical, supernatural spiritualness. There has been certain elements of that. Of course, those. We worship a God who is unseen and immortal and omnipotent. And yet, perhaps the expectation you came was to see relationships. That actually we're a bunch of people who get together and we've got this in common, that we worship God. But the relationships are the important thing. Hugo, the film, like I said, I thought one thing about it. When I watched it, I thought, okay, it's a good film. And one thing that Mike and I always discuss when we watch films is the Empire review. Empire is a film magazine, and their reviews I trust quite a lot. I trust the film review when it comes from the Empire magazine. I'll read that and think, I'm obviously discerning grown up, so I will decide for myself. But reading the review of a film afterwards, I tend to do, just to kind of whether I agree with it. I don't tend to read them before because it spoils the film, that sort of thing. But I like reading the reviews of films, and Michael and I will discuss afterwards. And he'll say, oh, have you read the Empire review? They were miles off, or they were spot on with that one, it's great. And the review of a film, that word of mouth thing, can help us understand whether other people should see a film. So you go through and you will explain the good points about the film, or the bad points, the aspects and the experiences you had when watching a film like that. And the Empire reviews, I quite enjoy reading. If a film is one that moves us, we'll want to share it. If we are moved by a film, if it's humorous, or if it's tense, or if it's just emotionally moving, we will tell other people about it. Similarly, if it's terrible, we will tell other people about it. I'm still never going to watch the end of Battleship. Refuse to. Mike said, go watch it. Watch the first half. I then fell asleep. I don't fall asleep in films. It's terrible. But we share. If we want to warn people, we share. We tell people about it. And actually, it's the same with lots of experiences in life, isn't it? If we're honest, we share when things are good. We share with other people. We share our experiences of shops, about things on the internet, about other people, about church. Without going into the gossip thing, I'm not doing that, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that when we share, it's about the things that have moved us, the things that we have affected our lives. Now, I became a Christian back in 99, and my life was changed completely. And I want to share that about my life. That actually, when my life changed, it was so important that I want to share it with people. And I probably don't do it enough. I probably share more about films than I do about this massive change in my life. I want to share about what God has done in my life. The fact that I was in this place, now I'm in this place, and I'm not in a finished place yet, because there's this to do. So my life is constantly changing. It's because I believe God is changing me through it. Through the experiences I have with other people and through my experiences with him, I am changing. Life is changing. It's probably one of the most important experiences that I've had. It turned me around from the path I was on. It exposed some of the flaws in my life and also some of the potential that I had. The stuff I wasn't doing, the stuff I was doing that needed to change, but the stuff I wasn't doing that I could be. Those things were huge. And this turnaround in my life that God exposed was massively important. And I think I can probably say, if you talk to anybody in the church, anybody in any church, they will have a similar kind of chat with you, that God changed their life, that there was a moment when things were going one way and then things changed. And for some people, it's enormous. For some people, it's radical. For other people, it's plodding along and then, oh yeah, and then life continues. And that's amazing because it's individual stories with individual people. Talk to people. I highly recommend you do. Because if you've ever met any of us Christian people, we like to share. We like to share what's going on, and how can we not? It is that important. It is that important. And to the Christians sat in here, if you're not sharing, how can you not share? How can you not talk to just one other person about this? Plus, we've kind of been told we've got to. Jesus told us to share. It was one of his great commissions. It was one of those things he said, go share. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Jesus told us to. He didn't ask us and say, oh, if you get a moment. There's a command in it. We see that as massively important. This whole thing of sharing, how can we not share? We like doing what Jesus told us to do because we kind of think he knows best. He's God and he knows what's going on. So we share. And like I said, I like to share about films. And in my opinion, there are some films that need to be shared, that you need to talk to other people about. And one of those, when I was thinking, what would my top five list be? I won't bore you with my whole top list. It changes regularly. But definitely one of those films to share is The Shawshank Redemption. If you haven't seen it, you should, in my opinion. And again, other people start going, no, don't. But in my opinion, Shawshank is a film you should see. It's a film about injustice that leads to incarceration, and there is redemption. And that isn't a spoiler, it's in the title, before anyone gets funny. It's a film about those things, and it's got a message running through it. It's got a heart running through it. And anyone who knows it, it's not a Christian film by any means, but there is a message running through it of hope, of determination. Or another one I like is Stand By Me. Stand By Me, a very, very different film. If you haven't seen it, I recommend you see it. It's about a group of boys who, at the beginning of the film, have this boyhood innocence going on. And through the film, they get exposed to perils and challenges and relationship things within one another and family things that are really deep and important. And by the end of the film, there's a new reality. And this group of boys has been changed by the course of events through the film. And it's completely different. Their lives are completely changed. And I think these films, particularly for me, have so much in common with God's message for us all. The fact that we can be in one place and through the course of our lives we are changed. Through the course of our lives we will not be the same person at the end of it. Hugo, right now, has so much potential. There is so much in his life and the things that he will experience, the things he will do, his life will change. I've got this amazing Bible that I read with my girls, and it's got no words at all. It's called the See With Me Bible. And it's beautiful because it explains the story of the Bible. And as I was looking at it, I was trying to find the pictures that would explain this change, that explain this thing of how God can take and change. And it starts off with God creating the world. The fact that God created the world and everyone in it is the beginning of the story. It's the beginning of everyone's story. Everyone has this beginning point. And then, because humans are human, and because God loves us and gives us choice, we have the choice to do what we want. And humans, very early on, chose to not do what God wanted. Humans chose to take God's commands, God's instructions, and say, I'm going to do what I want. And that separated humans from God. We believe that that took humans and God and separated them, because God is pure, because God is holy. He cannot be even in contact with this stuff that is impure. And it separated humans from that. And that has an effect on our lives. And it was all the way through to Jesus. We believe that when Jesus was born as a little baby in a stable, that whole Christmas story, I'm not sure you're aware of it, big tree, man with a beard, it changed. The coming of Jesus changed things because that was God saying, I'm going to make a difference. These events that happened are not the end of the story. This is the middle of the story. Jesus came as a baby to be human. He came to be human, to live as a human, to be an example of what being a human is. And then Jesus died as a human. As a human, but with a much bigger reason. That the reason Jesus died was so that we wouldn't have to in the same way. As Christians, we believe this whole separation of God from humans can only be repaired with sacrifice. If you go back thousands of years, it was with blood sacrifice. Well, actually, if you come forward thousands of years, it's still with blood sacrifice. But thankfully, praise God, it's not our blood. It was Jesus' blood. And because Jesus is God, was God, is God, and because God made that ultimate sacrifice of himself, it means we are free to be in this relationship with God, with one another. That is there for everybody. And it isn't a special thing. It was. It was the people of Israel were God's special people. But now that has been blown wide open to everybody. And there is no special invitation. It is just come into relationship. It's what God desperately wants. He sent Jesus to die. He sent Jesus to live. But he sent Jesus to die to open up that pathway. Because only that is the only way. And that's how the story is continuing. The story did not end with Easter. It didn't even end, we believe, with Jesus going back to heaven. It's a continuing story. There is an end to come. There is an end to this story. I think I know what my end will be eventually, but I can only speak for myself. What is the end of this story going to be? It's Jesus demonstrating love. It's God demonstrating love for everybody through these actions, through the creation, through showing his love, demonstrating it, through dying, making the way to him, and then through demonstrating love on a daily basis to us and saying, this is what I want. I want to be in relationship with you. I was chatting to my mum the other day about a various bunch of things. And I said I was doing this chat with you today. And she said, make sure you make it clear that there is, it's about life before death. That this relationship with Jesus isn't just the one we can look at and go, oh, I can't wait for the heaven thing. Yeah, I can't wait for the heaven thing. It's going to be amazing. But I want a whole bunch of years here to enjoy first, to share with everybody, to share with my friends, my family, to random strangers who have come for my friend's child's dedication. But to share all this stuff. It's important to get this life before death in, to share with other people, to enjoy it, to see friends grow and develop and experience those changes that God has for us. And all of this is about love. Love, God loved us. God loves us and God will love us wherever we're at. And it's that love, and you can probably guess I don't go towards the rom-com end of films, but it's love that you won't find in a film. You won't find, Disney can't make that love. It's love that it's got to be experienced. It's on a relational thing. And that comes back to the Hobbeses. I stole a picture from Facebook. Back to the Hobbeses, because aren't there family who demonstrate this love? This love that is sacrificial. Do you know, if you get to know them, that the sacrifices they make for their family, for one another, is incredible. In work, Nikki taking maternity leave because she wants to spend time with the boys. Mike traveling so far because, obviously, to work, but because he loves his job and making those sacrifices. The fact that they're an all-in family, that there are no times when they go, do you know what, I'm done. During the tough times, you can stand alongside them and say, crikey, yeah, we'll pray with you with these guys. Because three boys running the house, what great fun. What are you going? It's brilliant. And they're bouncing off the walls and bouncing off each other quite often. And it's brilliant. And I imagine at times, it's all a bit tiring. But they're there and they're all in. But also, if you know them, it's something that one of the guys mentioned earlier. They're not just an inclusive family. They're exclusive. They welcome. They've got open doors. They welcome you in. The Hobbes family welcome you in. The door is open. You go for a meal, go for a drink, go for a chat. I'm not going to say go now, please. That isn't an open invitation. Don't do that. But there is, if you get to know them, you will know that family have open hearts. And it's because of this love that they know, the love that they have experienced, the love that has changed them through their lives. It's changed them, it's changing us, and it's a privilege to be part of that. So Hugo has been born into that family. What a blessing. What a blessing for them, but what a blessing for him that is his family he gets to grow up in. It's also a blessing because he gets to grow up in this family. This family with a bunch of crazies is not just the ones who get given the microphones, no. It's all of us. He gets born into this church family. Mike and Nikki have chosen to raise the boys in this church family, to be part of Woody. And Woody is an amazing place, and it's people. These walls are great, and it's a very versatile place, but it's the people inside, the relationships, and just looking at that picture, the different people. Has this got a pointer on it? There's Mike and Sam, and there's Nikki and George. Wonderful. And it's lovely that it's part of that family. And it's all family, and it's all love, and it's all relationships. And I've got a cheesy picture to finish, of course I have, because it's also a worldwide family. Hugo's born into the world family. Yeah, come on, bring on the cheese. I like a bit of rom-com cheese. It's great. We are part of this human family. God did not say, spend your time in your little church and you just do that. Our job, our mission is to go and speak to other people, to not keep this to ourselves. We've got to share it. We've got to be people who let other people know about this. We know too much to walk blindly around. We need to be sharing. Mike and Nikki have done it today. They've stood here and they've said, this is what we want to do with our family. And we choose to do it because we worship God. We love what God does in our lives. We're blessed by him. And so we're blessed to welcome Hugo into this family. We're blessed to welcome anybody who wants to come along. And my just final question really is that challenge of, where do you find yourself? Where in this family, probably not the Woody family because you've got a special bunch there. Where are you in this world family? Where in God's world family? What's going on? So I'm just going to pray to finish. So thank you, God, that today we can come and celebrate Hugo. Thank you that the Hobbs family are a family blessed with those boys, that their quiver is full. And I pray that you will look after them all of their days. You will bond them together closer and closer through great times and through tough times. They will be there for one another, but also as wider family. We will be there in your love to support them, to celebrate with them, and to watch that family grow and grow. Thank you, Jesus, for today and for tomorrow. Amen.